Jaya Radhumad Ahuma Kunyabihari. Jaya Radhumadava Kunyabihari. Gopi Janabalaba Hiribaru Dahuti Gopi Janabalaba Hiribaru Dahuti Yasodhanandana Vraja Janaranjana Yasodhanandana Vraja Janaranjana Jamuna Tera Vanachyade Yamana Tera Manachyati Jaihu Radhu Madhava Kunyabihari Joy Radha Madhuva Kunjabi Hare Gopi Janabalaba Giribhadu Dhaldi Gopi dana balaba hidivarudhaguti Yasoda nandana raja janaranjana Yasoda nandana vraja janaranjana Jamuna tera vanachyare Yamuna tera vanachyate Jaihu Radhu Madhava Kunyabihari Jaihu Radhu Madhava Kunyabihari Jai Om Vishnupad Paramahansa Paravidakacharya Also Teda Satishi Shimad His Divine Grace Abhaya Chalanada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskan Boundaracharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Anandakoti Vaishnavrindika Jai Namacharya Srila Huridas Thakur Ki Jai Prince Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Gadadha Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrindagajai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopagopina Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavanam Ki Jai Mathuram Ki Jai Jagadathasami Ki Jai Yamunamai Ki Jai Shrimati Lasi Devi Gajai Samaveda Bhakta Vrindagajai Gaur Parivananda Hari Hari Om. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Gajai. But I, Krishna, Sai Buddha, Shri Veda Bhakta, Swami, Stasis, Vati, Universasis, and the body of Pashtadadeh, Shaturing. So before going on to Srimad Bhagavatam, we have a very interesting verse in the Srimad Bhagavatam today. I'd like to mention and speak a few words about Srila Prabhupada arriving in New York, actually arriving in Boston and then New York. So Srila Prabhupada arrived in the United States on this particular day. So I think it's a really important day because it marks the day when Prabhupada's mission actually started. So Om Gana Timirandasha Gananjana Shlokaya Chakshurun Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So I'm going to make some reference to the Prabhupada Lilamrita, although I'm not going to read everything. So of course Prabhupada came on the Jala Duta. Jala Duta, that means the sea messenger. Is appropriately named Jala Duta. Duta means like a messenger. Like you have the word, yeah, Vishnu Duta, Hamsa Duta, Hamsa Duta, the swan, you know, carry swan messenger, like that. Hamsa Duta, Vishnu Duta, like that. So anyway, it means the messenger. The messenger in Jala means like the sea. So Jala Duta, very appropriately named. And of course, the captain's name was Papandya. Actually, it means he was Bengali. Not Bengali, sorry, he was a Gujarati. And on the passenger manifest that is mentioned, Sri Abhoy Charanaravinda, whose age is listed as 69, was taken on board bearing a complimentary ticket with food. And of course, Srila Prabhupada really had to push to get that. What's that? He had to push to get that complimentary ticket and push to get his permission to leave India and push to get the tax form. I mean, it was just like so much determination was required. So Prabhupada said in his diary, we're going to read some of Prabhupada's diary, the cabin is quite comfortable thanks to Lord Sri Krishna for enlightening Sumati Morji, because she was the head of this India Steamship Company, for all these arrangements. I am quite comfortable. But on the 14th day, there was some problem, he reported. Seasickness, dizziness, vomiting, Bay of Bengal, heavy rains, more sickness. And then on the 19th day, the ship arrived in Ceylon, and he went went ashore with the captain. And then Janmashtami, the appearance day of Lord Krishna, fell on the 20th of August that year. And Prabhupada gave a lecture about Janmashtami to the crew. And he, Colombo in Ceylon, Sri Lanka, Sri Lanka. It's known as Sri Lanka now. So on the 20th day, 19th, he went at Ceylon, and then on the 20th, Prabhupada gave a lecture to the crew about Lord Krishna, and he cooked a prasadam, and he distributed prasadam to the whole crew. So Prabhupada wasn't just like sitting in the boat, you know, waiting for something to happen. Prabhupada was preaching all along. And then the day after Janmashtami, he had his 70th birthday, and there was no ceremony, obviously, no Vyas Puja or anything that year. And then the ship arrived in Cochin, which is part of India, and Srila Prabhupada got his Srimad Bhagavatams at that particular point, which had been shipped to Cochin. And then it went out to the Red Sea, then he had more sickness, dizziness, and for 2 days he suffered 2 heart attacks, tolerated the difficulty, I kept meditating on the purpose of his voyage. And then on the night of the second day after his second heart attack, Prabhupada had a dream, and Lord Krishna came in many different forms in his various incarnations, and he was rowing the boat. All the incarnations of Krishna were actually rowing the boat and assuring Prabhupada that he would be successful. Then he went through the Suez Canal, and he recovered a little and started cooking khichdi and puris. Then it's described he crossed the Atlantic Ocean. On September 9th, they began to cross the Atlantic Ocean, and the Atlantic Ocean, as reported by Captain Pundia, was far more peaceful than the captain had ever seen it before. You know, Krishna made the arrangement for Srila Prabhupada's passage over the Atlantic Ocean. And for those of you who have been in boats before, like myself, the Atlantic Ocean is not peaceful. The Pacific Ocean generally is much more peaceful. That's where it's called the Pacific Ocean. So, and Srila Prabhupada would stand on the deck of the ship at the rail, watching the ocean and sky and thinking of the Chaitanya Charitamrita Vrindavan Dham and the order of his spiritual master to preach in the West. And Mrs. Panja, the captain's wife, knew something about astrology, and she was, I guess, a little psychic. She said that if Srila Prabhupada were to pass beyond this crisis in his health, which he was experiencing at that point, it would indicate the goodwill of Lord Krishna, and he would be successful. Hmm. So, on the 32nd day, this is a long voyage across the ocean. It's not just a simple voyage. Prabhupada wrote, he cooked bati khichdi. It appeared to be delicious, so I was able to take some food. Prabhupada liked tasty food. You know, Prabhupada would sometimes say to the devotees who made him boiled vegetables, let the starvation committee go to hell. Not that he was cursing his disciples, but he just indicated that tasty food is important. And he wrote, today I've disclosed my mind to my companion, Lord Krishna. And Prabhupada wrote a poem about this in this connection. And Prabhupada was indicating his companion was Lord Krishna. So this is a Bengali poem. And here's the English translation of some of the verses. I emphatically say to you, O brothers, you will obtain your good fortune from the Supreme Lord Krishna only when Srimati Radharani becomes pleased with you. Sri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who is very dear to Lord Gauranga, Lord Chaitanya, the son of Mother Sachi, is unparalleled in his service to the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna. He is that great saintly spiritual master who bestows intense devotion to Krishna at different places throughout the world. By his strong desire, the holy name of Lord Gauranga will spread throughout all the countries of the Western world. In all the cities, towns, and villages of the earth, from all the oceans, seas, rivers, and streams, everyone will chant the holy name of Krishna. As the vast mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu conquers all directions, a flood of transcendental ecstasy will certainly cover the land. When all the sinful, miserable living entities become happy, the Vaishnava's desire is then fulfilled. Although my Guru Maharaj ordered me to accomplish this mission, I am not worthy or fit to do it. I am very fallen and insignificant. Therefore, O Lord, now I am begging for your mercy so that I may become worthy. For you are the wisest and most experienced of all. And the poem ends. Today that remembrance of you came to me in a very nice way. Because I have a great longing, I call to you. I am your eternal servant. And therefore I desire your association so much. O Lord Krishna, except for you, there is no means of success. See, Prabhupada was a great poet. I mean, all this wonderful poetry that Prabhupada wrote, and we're going to read another poem that Prabhupada wrote upon arriving in America. Hmm. So after skipping ahead, after 35 days, that means from his departure from Calcutta, the Jaladuta reached the Commonwealth Pier in Boston at 5:30 a.m. on September 17th. The ship, of course, today is the Vaishnava holiday of that arrival in America, not the actual Western calendar day. So the ship was going to stop briefly in Boston before going to America, and one of the first things Prabhupada saw in America were the letters A and P were painted on a warehouse. So A and P refers to basically a supermarket chain. I don't know if that supermarket chain. What? Doesn't exist anymore. So anyway, it was one of the biggest supermarket chains in America at that particular juncture. So he probably saw the Boston skyline, went through immigration at that point, got a 3-month stay, which he actually ended up extending again and again and again, and finally got his green card. And Prabhupada took a walk with the captain into Boston, where Prabhupada was able to see for the first time the commercial areas in America with old churches, warehouses, office buildings, bars, tawdry bookshops. That means, anyway, I want to tell you what that means. Nightclubs and restaurants. And the most significant thing that occurred during his short stay in Boston, aside from the fact he had now set foot in America, was that at this pier, Prabhupada wrote this wonderful poem, Bengali poem, entitled Markine Bhagavat Dharma, which means teaching Krishna consciousness in America. So here are some of the verses from this poem in English. My dear Lord Krishna, you are so kind upon this useless soul, but I do not know why you have brought me here. Now you can do whatever you like with me, but I guess you have some business here. Otherwise, why would you bring me to this terrible place? And remember, at that time, Boston was not as terrible as it is today, or America was not as degraded as it is today. Sorry about those of you who are from Boston who may be listening to this class. Cities are made by man, the country is made by God. And these hellish cities, simply hellish to live in a city. Unless one is preaching, what is the need to live in a city like that? Most of the population here is covered. The reason people live in the cities is because the social life, and these so-called cultural allurements that are in the city. That's one of the big things. I was brought up in New York, and I remember that New York was where the theaters were, the museums were. And nowadays we see that because the theaters and the museums are no longer open because of the COVID crisis, many people are emigrating from New York. And the real estate prices are going down. Of course, the stores are closing and everything like that. The cities are simply a place for sense gratification. And those attached to the cities, unless they're attached for preaching. I mean, I'd love to be in New York, but not because I want to go to the theater, the Guggenheim. Does anyone know what the Guggenheim is? Yeah. Or see the Rockettes, which my mother dragged me to see when I was a kid, and Radio City Music Hall. No, because there would be so much preaching to do there. But otherwise, I mean, why live in a city? I mean, what's the purpose of living in a city? There's economic development, and you have to pay 10 times as much for your rent. I mean, in New York, if you've ever been in New York, I mean, just a little tiny place.
Yeah, little place, my friend pays $3,000.
$3,000, you know, basically, you can't turn around without hitting the walls.
Yeah.
It's so small. The kitchen and everything is in one room. And everything is loud.
All night you hear something barking, construction, yelling.
And sirens. Prabhupada would comment about the sirens, actually. You always hear the sirens because someone's dying somewhere in your building. So why would someone live in such a place? It's simply the mode of passionate ignorance. That's why Prabhupada is saying, why would you bring me to this terrible place? And for most of us, you know, we go into the city, oh, shopping, you know. I mean, sometimes the ladies, just to feel happy, they go to a mall and walk around the mall so they can just see the different windows, window shopping. But all these cities are just like hellish places. So most of the population here is covered by the material modes of ignorance and passion. Absorbed in material life, they think themselves very happy and satisfied, and therefore they have no taste for the transcendental message of Vasudeva, it should be, Krishna. I do not know how they will be able to understand it. I mean, Prabhupada is looking at all these people just like walking around in passion and ignorance, going to the bar. You know, at that time in India, there really weren't bars. It was within the last 30 years that all the bars and liquor stores have really come up. When I first went to India, I mean, you really couldn't find a liquor store. And now you go through Delhi, and practically every block there's a liquor store. You know, Govinda's Bar, Govinda's Liquor Store, or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Yeah, no, they'll use Krishna's name. Yeah, they do get some benefit. Like Prabhupada said, if someone drinks liquor, if they actually chant between each gulp, then they will make some spiritual advancement. What's that? Yeah, I'm the taste of water. There's a little water in there. So Prabhupada is just thinking, what is this? These people are crazy. He's watching them in the city, walking around in the bars and the shops, Ugra Karma. Like Prabhupada he talked about Ugra Karma a lot. Like the typical example I give of that is when the devotees bought a washing machine in New Vrindavan. And this is before they had electricity or anything like that. And they were carrying this big washing machine. Four or five men were carrying the washing machine up the hill into old Vrindavan, you know, old New Vrindavan. And Prabhupada was laughing as they were doing that. And he's saying, Ugra Karma. I mean, it's horrible activity. But I know that your causeless mercy can make everything possible because you are the most expert mystic. How will they understand the mellows of devotional service? So here Prabhupada is referring to, you know, the mellows, like Baba and the Rasas. How are these people going to understand that sophisticated stuff? You know, they're just like, it's like going into a pigsty. How will people, or like Woodstock. Oh Lord, I am simply praying for your mercy so that I will be able to convince them about your message. And even one time Prabhupada went into a nudist colony to preach to people, and a lot of good devotees came out of that nudist colony. I'm not going to mention who. Not me, but a lot of very, very, very good dedicated devotees came out of that. One of our ex-GBCs was living in a tree in the nudist colony, in a hollow of a tree. Prabhupada's, you know, transmitting the spiritual potency, Golagera Premadana Harinam Sankirtan, was so potent that he could take these people, nude people living in Japan. Prabhupada said is the lowest of the low. They're going to become trees in their next life, like Manigriva Nalakuvara. And then they became devotees, great devotees. Prabhupada's a touchstone. All living entities have come under the control of your illusory energy by your will. And therefore, if you like, by your will, they can also be released from the clutches of illusion. I wish that you may deliver them. So by Prabhupada's desire, this is happening. Because one of the points about pure devotional service, it's the only means to attract Krishna, and the pure devotee controls Krishna by his pure devotional service. Therefore, if you desire their deliverance, then only will they be able to understand your message. How will I make them understand this message of Krishna consciousness? I am very unfortunate, unqualified, and the most fallen. Therefore, I am seeking your benediction that I can convince them, for I am powerless to do so on my own. Somehow or other, O Lord, you have brought me here to speak about you. Now, my Lord, it is up to you to make me a success or failure, as you like. O spiritual master of all the worlds, I can simply repeat your message. So if you like, you could make my power of speaking suitable for their understanding. Only by your causeless mercy will my words become pure. I am sure that when this transcendental message penetrates their hearts, they will certainly feel engladdened and thus become liberated from all unhappy conditions of life. O Lord, I am just like a puppet in your hands. So if you have brought me here to dance, then make me dance. Make me dance, O Lord. Make me dance as you like. I have no devotion, nor do I have any knowledge, but I have strong faith in the holy name of Krishna. I have been designated as Bhaktivedanta, and now, if you like, you can fulfill the real purport of Bhaktivedanta. Sign, the most unfortunate, insignificant beggar, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, on board the ship Jaladuta, Commonwealth Pier, Boston, Massachusetts, USA, dated 18th of September, 1965. See if the one it had. This is just a commentary on Prabhupada's poem. And then on the 19th of September, the Jaladuta sailed into New York. And at 17th Street in the Brooklyn Pier, and saw the awesome Manhattan skyline, and Prabhupada was not impressed. The Empire State Building, which was actually the largest building at that particular point, and the Statue of Liberty. And Srila Prabhupada was dressed exactly like he was dressed in Vrindavan. He wore the neck beads, a simple cotton dhoti, and he carried japa mala and old chadar. Described his complexion was golden, and I can verify that. The first time I saw Prabhupada, or first night after I saw Prabhupada, I was in his room, and Prabhupada was dressed in a gumsha. I mean, it's just like a gumsha, like a little wrap around here. And Prabhupada glowed, and his skin was actually completely golden, like molten gold, like Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he had white Vaishnav tilak, pointed white rubber slippers. actually, Prabhupada didn't wear those wooden shoes with a little knot on them. That's something Prabhupada never wore. And so no one had ever seen anyone dressed like this before. He was the first Vaishnava to arrive in New York with an uncompromised appearance. So Srila Prabhupada was completely on his own. He had a sponsor, Mr. Agarwal, which is where Prabhupada went to in Pennsylvania for a few weeks. And he didn't know what to do. He didn't know which way to turn. He walked off the ship into the pier. It's described, did not know whether to turn left or right. And finally he went to Traveler's Aid, or a representative of Traveler's Aid helped him. And he was sent to Pennsylvania on a bus. What?
Butler, Pennsylvania.
Butler, Pennsylvania. And there he resided for some time, and that's another story.